God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. As Pastor said, God had put this on my heart to share with you this morning. And I'm going to enlist the help of some of my dear sisters in the Lord. So we're going to take a little trip this morning after. But first, I have to tell you the background of this. You know, I think sometimes I'm a little dense. And a lot of times the Lord has to speak to me in word pictures. Is anybody else out there like that? I don't know. I love to read the word. And even when I'm reading the word, sometimes God just gives me a little snapshot of something. And several years ago, you could go ahead and just put up the first slide. Because this morning we're going to go through an orchard. We're going to go through an orchard. That's where our trip is. I think because of the fall, I'm really wanting to go there. But several years ago, as I was praying, I had lost all my joy, kind of. I had lost my passion. I was kind of like surviving, even though I loved the Lord, even though, you know, I was continuing to serve Him and, you know, continuing to do the things that I felt He wanted me to do. Have you ever been there? I just was in a funk. I just was passionless. And I was praying with my husband, and I just, you know, he was pouring out his heart to God, and I was like sitting there, and I was like, Lord, you know, I have like a dream in my heart, and it just seems like I'm so far from it. Have you ever been there? And I was just really, really, like, depressed. And as he was praying, I said to him, hon, I don't know. God has always used Psalm 37:4 a lot in my life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. But I said, Lord, I don't know. This one seems to be taking a really long time. I don't know, Lord. I felt You gave me a word. I felt You confirm it. But I'm nowhere near where You said I'd be. And my husband started telling me, he said, hon, he said, don't be so upset. God's going to do this in His time. He said, just think about all the things you are doing right now for the Lord. And it's all training and preparation. But you know what? I wouldn't have it. Have you ever been there? There's a scripture that says, Zion refusing to be comforted. You know, that's who I was. And just at that moment, the Lord has gave me a word picture that I have never forgotten, and I want to share it with you this morning. I was standing under a tree. I was standing under a tree, and the problem was, do you need to shut the lights with it? Or maybe shut the front lights, Brother Lonry. Thank you. I think we're okay, hon, because we're going to need some light. Okay, so I was standing under a tree. And this tree was full of fruit. Now, don't go to sleep because the lights are off. But I'm going to make you come on this trip with me. I was standing under a tree, and it was very fruitful. But the problem was that the fruit wasn't ripe yet. It wasn't ready. It was very fruitful, but the fruit wasn't ready. And here I was, I'll never forget, because in that picture, I was trying to find something green to wear this morning, but I had on a green suit that I had at that time. And I was standing under this tree with my arms folded, tapping my foot, and looking at a huge watch that I had under my arm. It's like, God, when is this going to happen? When is this fruit going to ripen? When is it going to ripen? I'm so tired of waiting. And I'll tell you something. I was so ugly. I had such an ugly look on my face. Have you ever been there where you just refuse to be cheered up, you refuse to be comforted, and you refuse to believe that God is working now, and you just want to get there? You just want to see Him do something you felt He promised. And as I was looking and tapping my foot and looking at this tree, I felt like the Lord said to me, now, look around you. Look around you. And when I did, I was shocked to see that I was in the middle, all around me. My tree wasn't right, but you could put the next slide. All around me, I was in a fruitful orchard, and the branches were full of fruit, ripe fruit. And here I was, standing under this tree, moaning and groaning and waiting, when I was already in something so fruitful all around me. Have you ever been there? I was shocked, so I'm going to ask Tommy and Camille and Donna to come and help me. I'm in a fruitful field. As a matter of fact, you know what's happening in this field? The fruit is so ripe. It's so ripe. Come on, girls, pick that fruit. And at first, they're a little confused like I was in the thing. I started to pick fruit. Go pick fruit. But what's happening? Look, as they're picking the fruit, they're getting happier and happier and happier. Wow, go, girls, go. Praise God. You're in a fruitful field. Don't wait for the fruit to ripen. Yay. Go, girls. Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. They deserve an Oscar. Wow. There's so much fruit around me in this dream, in this vision. It was right there when I was praying. And it was so much fruit. It was even actually falling to the ground. And we show the next picture. And I was just, I knew what this was. I knew this was the Lord's. In John 4:35, he says this scripture. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes. And look into the fields, because they are ripe. They are ripe for harvest. We're so focused on what hasn't happened yet that we don't realize the opportunities around us. And I also know the scripture in Matthew 9:35-37, where Jesus was going around and he was meeting the needs of the people and he was touched with compassion. But he says these words that go right through me. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I thought I had no fruit. I thought that I was waiting on my dream, my vision to come to pass, because that's when I was going to be fruitful for God. But instead, the Lord said to me, open your eyes. Open your eyes and look around you. There's so much fruit. And I look at this picture with the fruit that literally so ripe. Any of you ever gone to an apple orchard? That was one of my favorite things. I still miss that about the Northeast. When someone doesn't pick the fruit, it falls to the ground and rots. And I think to myself, who's that where there was no man or woman of God ready to pick the fruit? What Buddhist, what New Age person, what Muslim came and picked the fruit instead of us, or let it drop to the ground and just wither? What people are going into eternity because I was so fixated on myself, on my vision, on what I cared about, that I didn't see all around me that the harvest was plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm asking you to come with me and run through the orchard like these beautiful ladies did. The Lord said to me, pick up a basket and run. Go through the orchard. Go through the orchard. Pick up everything you can, because time is short. We're living in critical times. And just like them, at first I didn't know, I'm running through the orchard, I'm picking fruit, but all of a sudden the joy of the harvest came on me. Such a joy. My face changed. That ugly foot that was tapping, thinking about myself, thinking about my dream, what I wanted, what I was going to do when things got better. All of a sudden, this radiance came on me, the joy of the harvest. I was just in tears. I was weeping. I was so happy. You could see me there. I actually have been in that harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a joy in the harvest. It takes our mind off ourselves. It takes our minds off our needs, as Pastor was saying today. And I'm not saying to just ignore what we're going through. No, no, no. God cares about you. He cared about me. He cares about the vision, the dream, the mandate on your life. He wants things to improve. He wants them to get better. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to come through this. But in the meantime, open your eyes. Open your eyes and look around you. You're in a fruitful place. There's opportunities all around you. There's not only souls. The Lord gave me this word as I was preparing, that we're looking also as the fruit of the harvest of souls that are ready to come to meet Jesus. Not a guilt trip, but they're all around us. But also, I want to say this. It's the orchard of opportunity. Pastor Angela, what does that mean? What does it mean to be in the orchard of opportunity? What it means is God is giving you opportunities all around you now. Now. Not when your vision comes to pass only, but right now. Do you have an opportunity to learn? Do you have an opportunity to be a life learner? Do you have an opportunity to educate yourself? Do you have an opportunity to lead a healthier lifestyle? Do you have an opportunity to reach a neighbor? Do you have an opportunity? We are in such a fruitful harvest field here. We are so blessed. You have opportunities, Gloria. I know you're a masseuse, right? A medical masseuse. And you keep growing in your career, and God will open doors. You know, Bible says in Zechariah, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the little things. I remember this story, and I tell it all the time. It's like my husband, when he was associate pastor with my dad in Valley Stream, Long Island, one of his big jobs was to do the announcements. That was a big job, right, on Sunday morning? Dad trusted you. Let me tell you, he was very fussy about his announcement. And my husband prepared for that all week. And he got his pencil out and got everything down. And he'd get up to give those announcements. And you know what? A little bit later, God opened a door for us to be on radio in New York City. And all of that training that he had on giving the announcement and making it clear and making it concise and making it doable, it became used. God used it. You have to do it in a certain time frame. Now, granted, the radio he did in his pajamas, but he I got to add a funny story about this. I told you that my husband used to give the announcements. My father would sit back before he was going to preach and sit there. And one day he was giving the announcements about prayer. We were going to have a prayer meeting this week, and we are asking all of you to pray with us. So my dad was behind him, and he didn't want to blurt it out, but he said, fasting. So my husband said, we're going to have a meeting this week. We're going to ask you to come. He thought he was saying faster. And my father kept saying, fasting, fasting. And he was going so fast. He was like, okay. And he sits down, and my father said, fasting, not faster. But seemingly insignificant things in our life, seemingly things that don't have a lot of meaning, God weaves it into this most beautiful picture. And as I was running through the orchard, I was thinking of the times. You know, Brother Joel spoke a few weeks ago about the sons of Issachar. They understood the times they were living in. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, thank you guys for helping us with this PowerPoint. It says, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Listen, while we're waiting and tapping our foot and getting frustrated, there are opportunities all around us. And it takes wisdom. It takes guts. It takes taking our eyes off ourselves and our vision and saying, Lord, I want to seize the moment. I want to carpe diem. I want to run through this orchard and I want to gather the fruit. In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you could pray. The end of all things is here. 2 Peter 3:11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? God is speaking to us today to not wait for the perfect setting. And listen, we're not being mindless or uncompassionate. Is it such a word? Uncompassionate or incompassionate? Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying. Not having compassion. We're not saying that we don't have a lot of troubles in our life sometime, or challenges, or things that really need an immediate answer. But I tell you the truth, when we get our eyes off ourselves, they say the person tied up in themselves makes a very small package. And I got to tell you, I was a small package. Not only was I short, I was small. This opportunity is all around you. Are you waiting for the perfect time? Are you waiting till you get to college? Are you waiting till you graduate college? Are you waiting for a grant to come through? Are you waiting for, retirement? Are you waiting for something that you're waiting and waiting for and getting impatient, just saying, God, let this ripen, let this ripen. But I challenge you this morning to look around you. And you know what? There also means movement. These ladies moved. Tommy limped a little, even with her knee banded, she still did it. But we got to pick up the basket. Come on, come on, come on. Some people want to just, I wish I had a basket. They want to sit under the tree and the fruit to fall in. Some people want to sit there and let the tree drop the fruit in their lap. But it takes picking up a basket. It might take getting a ladder. As my husband always says, don't everybody just go for the low fruit. You know, and that picture you had of me at that orchard, you know I'm short. I was reaching. I wanted the fruit that was higher. We have to reach higher. We have to run. We have to walk. And you know what? Maybe I couldn't wear these clothes in the orchard. We have to change our garments. Oh, Ravasia, the Lord has given me a word. Change your garment. Don't sit there in a princess robe, in a king's robe. Yes, we are children of the king, but there's times that Jesus got down and he washed the disciples' feet. He put a towel over his arm. He took the basin and washed the smelly feet of the disciple when no one else will do it. Some of us are so used to having everybody serve us. My husband was talking about the gifts of the Spirit last week, and he was saying we actually had a friend who said they were doing like a spiritual gifts inventory, and they asked this lady, what gift of the Holy Spirit do you have? And she said, being served. That's wrong. It's serving. Yes, we are daughters and sons of the king. But it's a wise woman, a wise man that discerns the time we're living in. Says, give me my overalls. Give me my t-shirt. I'm getting in there. I'm going in the harvest. I'm not going to wait till this fruit falls in my basket. I'm going to build my muscles so I can carry more fruit because it's such a fruitful time. I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to let the fruit fall to the ground. I'm going to make my life count now. I'm going to let my life count now. I'm not just going to wait. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be, we were talking about, with some of the girls this week about being bold. It takes boldness sometime when you're down yourself and you see that you're under a tree that hasn't come to fruition, and you're frustrated. And guess what? It seems like all your friends are coming home with bushels of fruit because their time came. I know what that feels like. I know it's hard. But I say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart, Lord. I know in your time, my vision, my dream will come for pass. But I'm not going to serve the dream. I serve the dream giver. I serve the dream giver. I know there's so much about dreams and visions. And believe me, I believe in them. I believe in them. There's things prophetically spoken on my husband and I that are still coming to pass. Still, right now. And still have to come to pass. I believe in them. I don't diss them. But why wait till we're in a perfect setting where our tree is ripe now to get fruit, this opportunity, this harvest all around you? Even though we live in Florida, we have a fruitful harvest around us. Hallelujah. As I was running through this orchard and discerning the times, I felt like the Lord said to me, I was just deliriously happy. And you got to know, this probably happened in a matter of maybe a minute or less. My face had changed. My attitude had changed. Everything had changed about me. I was having a good time. I want to tell you, the harvest is fun. The harvest may be work, but it's just a joy to reap the harvest. You know, it says in the Bible that we reap where others have sown. Yes. Others have sown. That's why you and I are sitting here at Catalyst today. Others have been a blessing and planted things that we will never do. But don't be ashamed to plant for someone else too. Don't be ashamed to plant for someone else, for people around us, for your family, for your inheritance. But as I was running through this orchard, just deliriously happy, tears just streaming down my face, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, now look back. I looked at the tree. We can go to the last slide, actually. 11. Slide 11. I looked, and there the fruit had ripened. While I was doing God's business, while I was making the most of my opportunities, the fruit ripened. You know what? I didn't even care that much anymore. I was having such a delirious time of joy. I was so happy that I wasn't even worried about my vision anymore, Jessica. I didn't even, it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. The fruit is ripe. Thank you, Lord. In God's timing, the vision will be fulfilled. But run through the orchard while you can. Night is coming when no one can work. The opportunities that God gives you today may not be here tomorrow. I'm not here to be a prophet of doom. It's just carpe diem. Seize them. Seize the moment. Seize the opportunity. Educationally, if that's where God is leading you. Spiritually, reaching out, having a home group, going to home group. You know, there's so many things. A trip. Take a trip. If it's God's will. I'm not saying just do random stuff. Take a missions trip if God's put that in your heart. Be the best mom. Be the best dad that you can. That's a fruitful harvest field. Be the best brother and sister in Christ. Be the best son and daughter. Be the best that you can and seize the opportunity. Don't be immovable. They say this definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result. I'm going to say this. I hope you'll understand the spirit I'm saying this in. I don't mean necessarily, although this may fit to somebody, to be physical, but this is what the word I got. Move! 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 Don't just stay there wishing and hoping, singing and a prayer. Just wishing and hoping. You know, he had a dream. He had a dream. And sometimes it's a mistake to tell anybody your dream too soon. Just check out Joseph's life. He saw people bowing down to him. And, you know, wisdom says, probably should keep this to myself and pray on it. But he was immature. I've been there. I've proclaimed things over myself, and people looked at me like, you are nuts. He had a dream. It was from God. But he had no idea the timing to get it there. He winds up sold in a pit, in Potiphar's house, in prison, and in many uncomfortable situations. Many, 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 many uncomfortable situations. Did it seem like his dream was coming to pass? Not. But everything Joseph did, he did with excellence. Everything he did, every fruit he picked, every opportunity he had, he served with diligence and excellence. And God was preparing an amazing man of God. God's ways are so mysterious. And Brother Lunry, you could turn on the lights now. I'm coming to a close in a few minutes, but I just hope that you got the gist of my heart. I'm still learning this. But our perspective, our hearts, God needs to open our eyes. I pray right now that our eyes would be open to see the fruitful harvest field that God has placed us in. You have opportunities. I don't want anyone here to feel like a loser. You are not. That's what the devil tells you. The devil tells you you'll only be a winner if you do such and such, or you have that car, or you drive that, or you wear this, or you go here, or you go there, or you have that title. That's of the enemy. The Lord says, I love you. You're my son and daughter. I have a purpose. I have a plan for your life. But get moving. Move. Move. Joseph was being promoted in prison. No one would have given a dime. No one would have given up hope. Any kind of understanding that he was getting ready to be the emperor of Egypt. No one. God knows what's in you. God knows the destiny over you. God knows the plan over you. And it's important. But don't sit there feeling sorry for yourself or myself. Believe me, that dream has lingered in my mind. There's times when I want to start feeling sorry for myself, and I do. I have my pity party. I do. But then I remember, wait a minute. God, you've been so good to me. God, you've given me so many opportunities. Lord, you, first of all, he gives us him. First of all, he gives us Jesus. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He put gifts in the body of Christ. And Pastor and I have been talking about this. We believe unequivocally. Did I say that right? We believe every one of you has a gift from the Holy Spirit. At least one. You have natural gifts and talents. You know, maybe yours is like Miss Jean. She does crafts that are incredible. Miss Jean, you are an amazing, incredible. Maybe it's like baking cakes like Miss Nikki. Maybe you have special talents and gifts in music like a Brother Angel and others in the church. We have natural gifts, but the spiritual gifts in us have to be nurtured and discovered too. They have to be let out. So Miss Jean doesn't just do crafts to do crafts. She helps the children see the glory of God. She helps the children do crafts that see God's glory. Miss Nikki baked that cake for our anniversary. You saw love. You saw the God's anointing on that cake, didn't you? There are gifts and talents in you. And Pastor and I, the last thing in the world we want is to be micromanagers of a church where we're the only ones running through the orchard with a basket that's overflowing and the fruit is on the ground and we're exhausted, then we retire, and then some other poor person comes and knocks themselves out. Like Pastor said, we're not your grandmother's church. We are not. We are living in this day and age, and I'll tell you, we want to be missional. We want to reach our culture. We want to reach our neighborhood. We want each one of you, whether you're in nursing or whatever you do, to be used of God mightily, and we're standing with you. And we believe in this church the gifts are going to be activated by the Holy Spirit, and that we are going to see all of the gifts operating, all of them, all of the gifts. Don't say 4 more months in the harvest. I say look around you. I say look around you. For the harvest is here. But the Lord is saying there are few laborers. We need more laborers. We need brothers and sisters who not only come to church and are glorious and they're wonderful. We love each one of you. Each one is a treasure to us. We treasure you. But we need brothers and sisters that arise in the Holy Spirit with us. And they take a basket and they say, I'm going to find my gifts. I'm going to use my gifts. And there's, the Lord is amazing. There may be, how many fruits of the Spirit, honey, are there? 19 or 20 gifts of the Spirit. But the way God weaves them is limitless. The way God weaves them, there could be millions of ways that God combines the gifts that he's placed in you and in the body. God is so creative. He's so amazing. But if we don't pick up a basket and we don't get moving, we're going to sit under the tree. God forbid. God forbid. The harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Brother Angel, would you come up and play something? And I'm going to close in a different kind of way this morning. By the way, we have an apple for each of you. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Right, it's a reminder, but you're allowed to eat it. But after you really pray about this and think about this. And if somebody's home that couldn't make it today, share with them. Don't sit there waiting for your vision and dream to come to pass. Ask the Lord to show you what your gifts and talents are. Can you stand with me? I just want to close this way. It's different. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. But listen, I mean, this is a little different this morning. But I want something symbolic. I want everyone, when we say move, to move one or two seats over. If you're in the aisle, just stand there for a minute. But I want this to be symbolic. Just move your body a couple of seats and say, Lord, this is symbolic that I'm willing to go with you. And say it in your heart if you mean it. If you don't say it. Just move so nobody bumps into you. I just felt led, instead of making you come up here, because the Holy Spirit is all over this building. It's everywhere. Holy Spirit is here everywhere. I want you, in faith, if you've been in a funk, if you feel your life has no value, if you feel like life is passing you by, if you've seen someone come in with bushels of fruit, and you don't see fruit in your own life, let me tell you, it's all around you. It's all around you this morning. So I'm going to ask you, before we sing this song, when I say move, just move a couple of seats. You ready? Set? Gloria, help me. Because you move! Move! Come on! Move! 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 Come on! A little more happy! Happy! Happy move! Smile at me! Smile at me! Come on! Come on! Smile at me! Some of you are getting it! Some of you are getting it! Some of you are getting it! Just move! 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 In Jesus' name! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah! Go ahead! Go ahead! Move! Move out! Move out! Hallelujah! It's symbolic! It's symbolic! Sometimes God uses foolish things to confound the wise! And if He tells me to move, I'm gonna move! If He tells me to watch around Jericho, I'm gonna march! Because it's up to Him! Hallelujah! 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 Let's just take a moment to praise Him! Hallelujah! Pastor David, come up, Pastor! Hallelujah! And just do me a favor too. look at the spot you were and say, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Give God praise in the house. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Thank you, Pastor Angela. Hallelujah. So you decide which one of us is the extrovert. Pastor Angela, thank you so much. You made that message come alive. You made it come alive. Hallelujah. Boom. Hallelujah. Before we sing this, I have this word on my heart. I just give it to you real quick, okay? What you may think God is giving you to do may not seem to be so great or seem to be so significant. Do not despise the small things. For the last 10 minutes while my wife was preaching, I was thinking, I had this word picture of the campus at University of Central Florida. When we started there in 1994 to reach out to students, we didn't feel smart enough. We weren't cool enough. I was outdated.
Yes.
I hadn't any training for campus ministry.
Yes, yes.
But the Lord said, go there and put out a table in front of the library and talk to students. And then there was Lori, my daughter, who happens to be here today. Maybe this is a word of encouragement. She was very shy back then. So she said, Dad, I don't know if I can do, you know, like some of the students were going out talking. We'd had students doing like drama, skits, what do you call that, mime, all of that stuff, singing. She said, I'm just going to put out a table with literature and talk to students as they walk by. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, and then I'm going to have a little sign-up sheet for anybody who wants to join the Chi Alpha Club at the school. So I'm thinking to myself, nobody's going to stop there, and nobody's going to be paying attention to a girl behind the table just sitting there, just standing there with a couple of clipboards and some literature. Well, we went through a whole day of outreach, right? And at the end of the day, I come to Lori. I said, Lori, did you talk to anybody? She shows me pages and pages and pages of students that have signed up for Chi Alpha. I said, what happened? She goes, I don't know. They just kept stopping. Hallelujah. She said yes to God.